the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here on a special Wednesday night, day after Christmas. Like I said last week, want to make sure that we please the people, or as John Laurinaitis would say, people power. So thank you for your support. In return, we will give you what you want. We'll have a show. Of course, we have on Christmas. We hope that you enjoyed your Christmas day and even your Christmas weekend. Lots of food and cheer and family time and just a lot of fun. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So we thank you so much for your support. So like I said, in turn, special Wednesday night edition will be a bit abbreviated, but we'll be sure to compact as much as we can. We will cover, Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, and ROH. And the flavor of the week this week is the top 10 pay-per-view main events of the decade. Since this is the last episode of Pancakes and Power Slam of the year, we'll be back New Year's Day. But since this is the last pay-per-view, this is the last episode of the year, we will, in honor of the last episode, we will do the previous 10 pay-per-view matches of December. So this should be a lot of fun. Of course, as we do every week, this week's news. A few nuggets here for this week. Fandango put on hold. We saw some promos. And of course, Fandango is Johnny Curtis from NXT, but Fandango put on hold. It didn't seem like it was really going to launch off to be that great anyway. So, and as we can see, a few promos later, nothing. So there's not even a definitive time if or when he will ever debut. So poor Johnny Curtis is actually not bad in the ring. He actually won in NXT, but not really being utilized. So at the end of the day, he really saw what just all those NXT episodes and weeks led to. It really led to a developmental territory, which was good for WWE, because initially they took an already developmental territory, Florida Championship Wrestling, but they just they just kind of rebranded it, and NXT was a creation of WWE, and now it's their developmental territory, so it worked out for them in that sense. But as far as the intentional purpose to really build up stars, really didn't do much. And the interesting thing about that, and it's good that it's a Full Sail University now and everything like that, it's really honing stars, as we can see for from the Shield. But at the end of the day, it's still kind of like, could they afford to lose ECW? Because I still say to this day, ECW, the WWE's version of ECW was very diluted. But at the same time, it really built up stars and it revived people's careers as well. I had a flavor of the week about that, about wrestlers that benefited from WWE's version of ECW. You can check that out by subscribing the Pancakes and Power Slams show on iTunes. Once again, subscribe to Pancakes and Power Slam show on iTunes. I believe I plugged that before, but yeah, you can get archived episodes. Almost 40 episodes in, so we're starting in April and continuing to grow. We'll have our esteemed Raw correspondent Derek soon, and we'll get to some trivia soon as well. Secondly, Sin Cara expected to return at Raw taping on Saturday. Of course, we saw he got injured. Well, he got written off by the Shield, but he was actually injured. He had arthroscopic knee surgery. Another Sin Cara injury. I definitely don't hope that it's not a resemblance or reflection of Rey Mysterio. I definitely hope that that don't happen. So we shall see. Sin Cara isn't nearly as good as he was hyped up to be, but at the same time, he's still a necessary player, necessary roster member for the WWE. And then finally, Christian, haven't heard his name in a while. He is slated to return around mid-January or so, heading to the Royal Rumble. However, they are not certain to whether make him a face or a heel. I actually thought his face run was really good. His heel run was, and I'll always say this, his heel runs always reach the ceiling. This doesn't make much sense to me. Him coming back as a heel just wouldn't do much. When he was a face, he actually really revived the Intercontinental title scene. So, and it really put it back on the map. So I would prefer Christian to be back as a face, but we shall see. First question of the night. Who were the members of Public Enemy? Who was the members of the wrestling, professional wrestling's version of Public Enemy? Of course, log on to the chat room, say your answer there, or, of course, tweet at Crave Wrestling. All right, well, let's get into the Raw episode. It was a Christmas Raw. It was, you know, I definitely understand the purpose of the Christmas Raw that happened on Christmas Eve. It wasn't a Raw that led into storylines, and it was also recorded. So, but it was for the most part, it was a decent Raw. Interestingly enough, all of the baby faces won. I guess in honor of Christmas cheer, every single match that happened was won by baby faces. So let's go through the card here. Santa has gifts and waves to fans, and he gets ran over by Alberto Del Rio accidentally. Interesting. It was pretty interesting when I saw that. I was thinking, okay, they were pumping Del Rio to be a face, as we saw on TLC and the subsequent Raw, I believe, last week when Del Rio was a face. If I'm not mistaken, it was another. Yeah, that's when Tommy Dreamer came back. When they're in Philly, and he was a face then as well. So, two straight nights of the face, and I know this episode was recorded, but at the same time, it seems like that experiment may have sank. So, we'll see in the upcoming weeks if they stick with Del Rio being a babyface or a heel. Superstars backstage in front of the training room. Booker T comes out and tells them, Santa's down! And he books a match of Cena versus Alberto Del Rio. That segment was pretty funny. And, of course, just random ad-libs by Titus O'Neil was funny. So, and of course, his whistle when Alberto Del Rio shows up. It was pretty funny. Kane defeats Cody Rhodes. Caitlin, Alicia Fox, Natalia, and Layla defeated Eve, Oksana, Tamina, Snuka, and Rosa Mendez, and the Santa's Little Helper, 8-man tag match. Sheamus defeats Big Show in a Lumberjack Frost match. Interesting booked match there. After all of the matches they had on pay-per-views and their feud, we'll see if it culminates with a Lumberjack Frost match. Zack Ryder defeats David Otunga, relative throwaway match. Booker T, Taylor, and Brad Maddox backstage segment, talk in Booker's office. Booker gives Maddox a another chance for a contract versus a mystery opponent. I figured it was leaning towards the Great Khali because of just the innuendos that Booker T threw out. It's kind of cryptic, but kept saying great, so I figured that it was. It'll make for great TV, I believe. So I figured it was Khali. Maddox, though, he plays a real cocky, you know, brash heel that it works for him. I'm liking Maddox's character so far. And, yes, Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge is the correct answers. Great job. Next question is, who were the Body Donnas? Who were the Body Donnas? And who were their manager, if you want to add on to that answer there. And as we saw later after that segment, Miz and Kofi Kingston defeats Wade Barrett and Antonio Cesaro. Pretty good match there. Figured it was going to be. Barrett loses, though. So, I don't know. It's just, I really don't know what they're doing with Barrett. They really relegated him to the mid-card after giving him all those good promos. I mean, he has some really, really good vignettes leading up to his return, but they just kind of relegated him to the mid-card seemingly because they don't have a spot for him in the main event. Of course, he can win the Royal Rumble, but his momentum isn't rolling enough to win the Royal Rumble, in my opinion. Now, he could be a dark horse, but, and I wouldn't be opposed to him winning, but just not much steam. He's a heel, and, you know, I don't think he has a really big chance of winning the Royal Rumble. Then we get the Great Khali defeating Grant Maddox. Pretty self-explanatory. For a split second, I thought that I thought that Maddox was going to win for a split second, which would have been really interesting. Then we see CM Punk and Paul Heyman in ring promo. Pretty good promo leading to their quote-unquote January 7th match, although it's some talks that may not happen. But Ryback interferes and pumps it up to be a TLC match. I like Ryback's promo cutting. I think it fits well. The way that he cuts promos fit well with his character, and I think that that was a good call on that. I like what I see as far as him cutting promos. Daniel Bryan defeats Damian Sandow. Good match between them. Glad that Daniel Bryan took the win there. By the way, last week there was a story on him, courtesy of Huffington Post. Just class act. There was a 7-year-old. Wrestling fan that's unfortunately been diagnosed at 3 years old with brain and spine cancer, and he was the boy. He is a big fan of Daniel Bryan's favorite wrestler, and he YouTubes a video talking about how he wants to meet Daniel Bryan. Became viral, you know, within hours and within a day. WWE and Daniel Bryan agreed to see the young man. And Daniel Bryan gave him some signed merchandise, let him interview him, and he also let him apply the no lock on Daniel Bryan. Class act. I mean, he and they interviewed Daniel Bryan, and he was really humbled by the experience. And so, I mean, that's what, you know, wrestling, as far as the philanthropy side, should be. And that's what it should be. That's what it should be utilized for outside the ring. Very, very class act by Daniel Bryan, and it really reflects on who he is as a person. So, you know, kudos to Daniel Bryan. I mean, just hats off to him. Total respect in that vein. And then we get the 8-man tag match: Usos, Santino, Brodus Clay, Tyson Kidd, and Justin Gabriel. I'm sorry, the 10-man match defeats 3MB, Primetime Players, and Tensai. I figured that was going to happen, because I noticed earlier that it was like a series of faces winning, and I noticed the trend, so figured they were going to win. And then finally, John Cena defeats Alberto Del Rio. Miracle on 34th Street match, main event of the night. We saw the match, I mean, many times within the past year. And so, we'll have our Raw correspondent here, Derek, coming on here soon. But the Miracle on 34th Street match was really good. I'm joking. It was just a typical Del Rio and Cena match. Although their matches aren't terrible, you know, it just wasn't nothing to really, you know, tip my hat off. You know, tip my hat to. And it, once again, it just kind of confused me because Del Rio was playing the heel, and you know, it really didn't do much of a purpose for him to, like I said, I understand it was recorded, but at the same time, you know, I think they could have possibly picked someone else in that sense. So, but, you know, like I said, we'll see if Del Rio stays the heel role or he kind of flips back to the face. And interestingly enough, I don't mind the Miz and Del Rio tag team. It's weirdly enough, they actually have some chemistry, as we saw at TLC and Raw last week. So, got our esteemed Raw correspondent Derek on the line. What do you got this week, sir? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And it was an awesome Christmas Raw. I mean, Raw always respects the Christmas holiday as far as the magic of it. Maybe not so much the meaning, but they always strike a chord, and they always make a meme to celebrate the Christmas. Santa Claus, you can say that was well. I liked it. It was enjoyable to see Santa Claus get hit by Alberto Del Rio, but Alberto Del Rio kind of redeemed himself in a way. But I like the push that Alberto's getting. As far as being a heel to a baby face, that's okay. I like Alberto Del Rio. He's a great talent, so I hope that goes somewhere. If not, then that's typical, but we'll see what happens. And the Christmas special was, again, Raw never fails to give a Christmas special. But the Miracle on 34th Street match, like you said, it was kind of a blunder. No big surprises there. And but it makes me think back to past Raw Christmases. So they always make a point to recognize a holiday. And what was the best moments of Raw's Christmas past? To me, I think it was when Stone Cold stunned Santa Claus, when Santa Claus told Stone Cold, "Oh, you want a Barbie doll for Christmas?" Yeah, that was a good time. I guess when DX, you know, ripped their pants off and all that stuff. But it's a it was the season. It was a decent Raw, like you said, kind of run-of-the-mill Raw Christmas, but that's what you expect. That's what you look forward to. And it was a good show. So from what I saw. Christmas Eve, there's a lot of festivities going on, but I made a point to see the Christmas Raw. Thank you.
Awesome. As always, highly esteemed Raw correspondent Derek with the great analysis of the show. Very on point there. Couldn't have said it better myself, sir. Thank you very much. Tom Pritchard, Chris Candido, Tammy Sitch, Sonny Skip and Zip. All of those answers are located in the chat room, so I'll accept all of those. Great job. Next question is, who were the original Four Horsemen? Who were the original Four Horsemen? Name all five of them. All five of them. Next, Super SmackDown Live. If you'd like to call in, 347-884-8452. Tweet at Crave Wrestling for anything that you feel that's on your heart there, any questions or comments. Super SmackDown Live aired last Tuesday, and as I believe Patrick was his name, caller last week, asked how do I feel about Super SmackDown Live, and this is what I'll do. I'll go over it, and we will talk about it now. Miz TV, AJ and Dolph Ziggler. Big E Langston attacks the Miz. I'll tell you what's so interesting about that is that I don't know. He hasn't really left much of an impression to me. Because honestly, when I saw Cena, and I don't know, maybe because SmackDown was live and we didn't see Langston on Friday. I mean, the replay came on Friday, but I watched it last week. But, I mean, I don't know. Big E Langston, I think he's a good addition to the Ziggler and AJ thing, but on Christmas Raw, we just saw a bunch of segments of AJ and Dolph Ziggler cuddling, reading a book. AJ reveals the Dolph Ziggler t-shirt. They kiss under mistletoe. So that was their spots on the Christmas show. But Big E, you know, of course he wasn't there. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what this leads to as far as the New Year Raw going, you know, as far as going into the New Year Raw. I don't know exactly where this is going. I mean, are we going to see John Cena versus Big E Langston at the Royal Rumble? Are we going to see another Ziggler-Cena match with Big E there? I mean, I really don't know where this is leading. And honestly, I don't necessarily care to know, to be honest with you. I believe that the feud should have culminated when Ziggler beat Cena. But I guess they had to, you know, I guess they had to make some type of storyline out of AJ turning heel. But I don't know. I'm not too wowed by it. Not too enthralled. Hey, long Booker T. Brad Maddox backstage segment. Once again, pretty funny. Damian Sandow defeats Sin Cara. The Shield attacks Sin Cara post match, as I was saying before. He got written off because of the knee surgery. Santino defeats Tensai. The backstory behind that was Santino's making fun of Tensai because they both presented the war at the Slammies. Tensai, this guy, I mean, he's just, I mean, no offense to Santino. Many people know that I like Santino. I think his character is needed in the WWE. Not necessarily, like I said before, and I've said this a few times, every single person on the WWE roster cannot be world champion. So there's certain people who just have to be happy that they have a pretty solid character that's going to be around for a while. And so, you know, Zack Ryder and Santino are two of those people that I can think of that won't be world champion anytime soon, if ever. but they have good, solid characters that are good for, say, Saturday Morning Slam or something to that nature. Team Hell No and Kofi Kingston defeats Primetime Players and Wade Barrett. Another Barrett loss there. Primetime Players, they're not really their push or their high kind of sizzled down. Interestingly enough, and their new theme music I just don't like. I like the old theme music. It really fit them a lot. But this new theme music, no disrespect to the artist, but this don't fit them. And it seems like after Titus O'Neil got a lot of rave reviews for his Raw commentary a few weeks back, it seems like after that, they just kind of subsided as far as their push is concerned. So we'll see how that goes. I'm a fan of Primetime Players, and hopefully they can kind of rebound from this slump. CM Punk interview, of course, and it was by Ryback again. Targets first Raw of 2013 for a rematch, and of course we saw on Raw he put a stipulation to that match, which is TLC. But once again, we just have to wait and see if the match is going to happen. Ryback defeats Antonio Cesaro. Good match between them. Kaylin and AJ backstage segment. Kaylin defeats Eve by DQ. And then Brodus Clay defeats Brad Maddox. The Shield attacks Brodus Clay. It's the last laugh on that. Next question here. Yes, I see in the chat room. Rick Flair, Tully Blanchard, and J.J. Dillon, of course. And if someone can, in the chat room or through the tweet, can name three people who joined the Four Horsemen, three other people who joined the Four Horsemen before 1990. So we'll say 1991. Three other people who joined the Four Horsemen before 1991-ish. Let's go on to Impact Wrestling Championship Thursday. D-Von defeats Kurt Angle, help from Aces and Eights. Matt Morgan, Joey Ryan defeats RVD and Kenny King. Looks like we're seeing a Kenny King heel turn. Not a big fan of it. I think Kenny King was building some steam as a face. Seems like that will be derailed as a heel. I don't see him. Kind of what Austin Aries is doing. He really got a bunch of steam as a face. Now he's a heel and he's just kind of blah again. So looks like TNA need to work, as far as their creative is concerned, they need to work on honing characters a lot before they just do a heel or a face turn. I remember they did that with Mr. Anderson for a while. He would be face and then heel and face and heel. Like, give him time to really hone in his character, whether it is a face or a heel. And I didn't really think that was a good idea. They had Sting as a heel for a second too. That was dumb. But you know, I don't see the purpose of doing things like that. You really got to work on the character. So, who was the first X Division champion? Speaking of TNA, that's the next question. Hulk Hogan promo interrupted by Aces and Eights. Bully Ray makes the save. Hogan walks away. Kazarian and Daniel segment with Santa Claus. That was just kind of a weird segment. I don't understand that. Kind of a waste of time, to be honest. James Storm, in honor of Christmas cheer, he interrupts them. Just weird segment to me. Didn't really understand that. Championship Thursday was the Knockouts Championship, chosen by Brooke Hogan. That person was Mickie James. Velvet Sky, ODB, and Miss Tessmacher were the other candidates, and they were eliminated throughout the show. Mickie James was chosen, and because of a distraction by Jesse, she loses again to Tara. Jeff Hardy defeats Austin Aries. Good match between those two. Bobby Roode spine busters Aries. And that's something that I'm wondering, too. I mean, are we seeing a Bobby Roode babyface turn? I mean, similar to what I just said, I mean, Bobby Roode is a consummate heel. Like, he is doing an excellent job as a heel. I hope that James Storm doesn't turn heel because he's kind of, you know, established himself as a babyface over the past year or so, year and a half. Bobby Roode is a consummate heel, so I definitely don't understand what they would do with him other than feud with Austin Aries and then what. And then finally, Hulk Hogan interviewed as he was walking to his car, and then further back we see Brooke and Bully Ray kiss. You can really say the saga. I mean, I really don't, you know, I really don't see a purpose in this. Hopefully the payoff is good. I don't see it, but hopefully the payoff is good with the Brooke, Hogan, Bully Ray, quote-unquote, relationship. Luger, Wyndham, Sting, yes, those are three. Sting kind of unofficially joined, I think it was like a class of champions, where they were like, the Horsemen was baby faces for a hot second. Flair, and I think it was Flair and Ole that were kind of going back and forth with Sting because, if I'm not mistaken, this was 1990. I think it was right before, because Sting won his first WCW championship at Great American Bash of 1990. I think it was a class of champions earlier that year that started the Sting and Flair feud. Sting was kind of like about to be inducted in the Horsemen, and then Ole Anderson, I believe it was, kind of Ole and Flair kind of gets, they both get like a little disgruntled, or they disagree with the fact that Sting still wanted to be the number one contender for Flair's title at the time. I think I'm right. This is 22 years ago, but I'm a diehard wrestling fan, so I definitely remember this. Maybe forgetting some, maybe a little off the dates, but I think that's correct. I think that's correct, if I'm not mistaken. Started the Sting and Flair feud, and Sting wins at Great American Bash of 1990. So, good answers there in the chat room, and I got confirmation in the chat room that that was indeed correct, and also got good memory. So, then some odd question: so what color were the ring ropes? I don't know, fuchsia and light tan, if I can recall. But thank you, chat room. Says good memory. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Speaking of that, we'll start off the new year on New Year's Day next week. Pancakes of Power Slams next Tuesday. Stomp the host. Ask me trivia questions, and I will do my best to answer them. Last time, I believe it was in November, it was successful. Try to do it about every month to month and a half or so. And so we'll start off the new year by trying to stump the host. So the chat room says be prepared. All right, let's go on to Ring of Honor. It was a Ring of Honor year review. Before we do that, first X Division champion, it looks like no tweets or no correct answers yet. First X Division champion. I might have stumped the listeners. All right, let's go to Ring of Honor Unit Review. Richards and Edwards for that was the basically just given Ring of Honor TV matches of ROH throughout the year. showed Richards, the first match they showed was Richards Edwards 4. It was June of 2012, of course, ROH TV, great match between the two. At that point in time, Davey Richards was kind of playing the heel role, because for some reason, Kevin Steen was clearly a heel, but he was still getting cheered. Davey Richards was starting to get booed, and so he just kind of played along with it and kind of unofficially turned heel. Then they showed a snippet of the Briscoe brothers versus Jimmy Jacobs and Kevin Steen. Man, that dive that Mark Briscoe did was crazy. That was crazy. I mean, it was like a balcony. He jumped off a balcony. Did kind of similar to New Jack, but not quite, because New Jack would usually jump not into the ring, but he would jump from higher up in the stands to just a kind of an open area that he would put someone on a table. But Mark Briscoe, he had some longevity to his splash, because he had to jump outward instead of just relatively just kind of falling down like New Jack does. But Mark Briscoe had to jump outward, and that was a really, really good spot. He splashed Kevin Steen. Really, really nice spot. Then we saw Landstorm against Mike Bennett 3 that aired August of 2012. Great match there. Bennett closed the series by winning. Bennett won the first one. Storm won at a pay-per-view, and then Bennett won again. And then finally, the ROH TV title match between Roger Strong and Adam Cole. It's really put Adam Cole on the map as a singles competitor. Kyle O'Reilly is what he really became popular, teaming up with Kyle O'Reilly. But really put him on the map as a singles competitor by capturing the television championship. AJ Styles is the correct answer for this previous question. Next question. What three superstars did Undertaker face more than once at WrestleMania? Nice question there. What three superstars did Undertaker face more than once at WrestleMania? That'll get you thinking. All the tweeters, all the people in the chat room, they get you thinking. Three superstars that Undertaker faced more than once at WrestleMania. All right, let's go to our flavor of the week as your brains are churning there. Once again, the 10 pay-per-views of the decade in honor of the last episode of Pancakes and Power Slams of 2012, special Christmas season, Christmas Day After Christmas edition. Let's go to including this year, the 10 pay-per-views, including 2002. So, actually, the 10 years of pay-per-views, so it's actually 11 total. 2002, Armageddon was from 2002 to 2008, and then great job, chat room, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Kane. Great, great job. Very impressive. 2009 to 2012 was TLC. So 2002's main event was Shawn Michaels against Triple H. Three Stages of Hell. They had a really good feud around that time. Triple H won that match and became champion. Shawn Michaels only had the title for a few weeks. He won it that year at the Elimination Chamber. I wonder why they only had him win that match they only had him have the World Heavyweight Championship for a month, less than a month. But it was good to see Shawn Michaels win that the month before at the Survivor Series Elimination Chamber.
But for him to keep it that, I mean, only for that period of time, I don't understand that. But
match was good. Armageddon 2003 was Goldberg versus Triple H versus Kane for the World Heavyweight Championship. That was the main event. This time, Goldberg was the champion. Goldberg won it in September, I believe, of that year, if I'm not mistaken. It was a triple threat. It was a match between Goldberg and Triple H. And, yeah, Goldberg won. He became champion that year. But Triple H continued his streak and became the World Heavyweight Champion for the second consecutive December pay-per-view by defeating Goldberg and Kane. 2004, it was a Fatal 4-Way match between JBL, Eddie Guerrero, Undertaker, and Booker T. JBL was on his huge winning streak, had the belt for almost a year. But I mean, they really pushed JBL to the moon. I mean, that was something creatively from the WWE that really had a lasting effect in JBL's career. When they turned him heel and actually had him win the world title, and that was a really, really good idea that they did that. He lost the title the Mania after that, 2005 WrestleMania, and lost it to John Cena. John Cena gets his first WWE title run. 2005 Armageddon, a Hell in a Cell match between Undertaker and Randy Orton. Interestingly enough, no titles were defended. The main event was Undertaker versus Randy Orton, a Hell in a Cell match. This time, Randy Orton was with Cowboy Bob Orton, and they had a pretty long-standing feud with The Undertaker, which was really good. Actually led to a WrestleMania match as well. Undertaker wins the Hell in a Cell match that year. 2006 Armageddon, Batista and John Cena defeats King Booker and Finlay. Now, I loved Booker T's King Booker gimmick. Very, very funny. He had King Booker's court, which also consisted of Finlay and William Regal, and of course Charmel. For some reason, they decided to have a random. I mean, it wasn't random. It was at that point in time, Booker was feuding with Batista. Batista won the World Heavyweight title from the World Heavyweight Championship from Booker. It was a bit odd for a main event match. Now, I'm okay with tag team main events. I don't believe that, especially when the split was still there. I mean, of course, you would have the Raw and the SmackDowns. Sometimes you would have, like, a Raw superstar be involved in a SmackDown pay-per-view and vice versa. I wasn't too opposed to tag team main events at minor pay-per-views. However, King Booker and Finlay against Batista and Cena, it really would have surprised me a lot if King Booker and Finlay would have won this match. Although my preference was Booker and Finlay winning, because Booker's one of my favorite wrestlers and also like Finlay. But of course, the two hottest baby faces, you know, the two biggest baby faces of that year, Batista and Cena, of course they're going to win that match. 2007, Batista versus The Undertaker versus Edge. Batista came in as champion. Edge left as champion. That was the debut of the Edge Heads. which was also known as the Major Brothers, which became Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. So that was a pretty good they became popular then, because when they were the Major Brothers, they weren't that popular, of course. But they kind of honed their craft in ECW, but at the same time, and it was really interesting because they really looked similar to Edge. So it was really, really interesting that they decided to do that. It was a good call. I will say that was a good call by the WWE creative to do that. And so it was a good way for Edge to win the World Heavyweight Championship as well. So kudos to the booking staff on that call. 2008, Edge comes in as champion, defends in another triple threat match against Jeff Hardy and Triple H. That year, Edge comes in as WWE champion, and Jeff Hardy wins the match that year. And wins his very first WWE championship. Jeff Hardy was really popular at that time. He sold a lot of merchandise, and he was really one of the most popular baby faces at that time. So they really just kind of rode the wave and capitalized on that, and had him win the WWE championship. So, and at that time, I think it was good too. Honestly, him with Jeff Hardy was a good commodity at that time, and of course he's TNA champion now. But his popularity did not really, resonate in TNA. Although he is popular in TNA, but he wasn't iconic, so to speak. But he was getting there. He was pretty over in 2008. So good idea to put the WWE Championship on him. It was a bit of a it was refreshing as well. So I definitely think that it was a good call to put Jeff Hardy as a champion at that time. That was the end of Armageddon. Then it changed to TLC. 2009 was the first TLC pay-per-view. Started with the main event of 2009 was for the Unified WWE Tag Team Championships. Jericho they went against D-Generation X, and DX defeated them. Interestingly enough, DX the New Age Outlaws, they were part of DX, and they were champions, but they were coining it, and then they were trying to plug it as this is Shawn Michaels and Triple H's first tag team title, which is good. It is an achievement, but at the same time, they weren't really a team in DX. They were just two members of DX. The only real team was the New Age Outlaws. Shawn Michaels was the main eventer, and Triple H at the time was more of the mid-carder, so they weren't necessarily a team. 2010, John Cena defeats Wade Barrett in a chairs match. Now, the Nexus, this is really a part of the Nexus demise. 2010 was just a huge year for the Nexus and Wade Barrett, but for some reason they just decided to really have John Cena just be the one man Nexus killing machine. Just really was rather poor booking in my opinion. The Nexus really could have stretched out a lot more than that. And Wade Barrett at that time more than ever was world champion. He had a position to be a world champion. Now they tried to push him pretty heavy the beginning of last year. The beginning of this year, they were pushing him pretty heavy, but he got injured. So I think then more than ever, he was in a position to become world champ, but he was a relative rookie in the States. Now he wrestled in Ireland for a while. Him and Sheamus would have some really good feuds, and he wrestled overseas. But in the States, he was relatively new. Of course, he was in the developmental territory, but as far as a fresh face to United States television, he was relatively new. So I guess they didn't feel like it was the correct time. But now he's in a position where it may be a little while longer because he's been relegated to the mid-card. He's been relegated to the mid-card level. 2011, CM Punk versus The Miz versus Alberto Del Rio in a TLC match for the WWE Championship. CM Punk retains the title. They threw Miz in there, which is pretty interesting because Miz really, I mean, he had that match with R-Truth, Team Awesome Truth, or they were called The Awesome Truth, not Team Awesome Truth, but The Awesome Truth. Interesting makeshift tag team between the two, but it kind of worked for the most part. But, you know, he kind of started going to slump around that time. They tried to revive him a little bit by throwing him in a main event, but his character was getting stale and just weren't. He was not the hot ticket that he was earlier that year when he was champion leading into WrestleMania 27. And then finally, this year's TLC, we talked about it recently, Dolph Ziggler, Money in the Bank, he defends his Money in the Bank briefcase against John Cena. I think it was a good call to keep the match. I mean, to have the match. That was a creative concept to defend the Money in the Bank case, and it makes me wonder if they'll continue to do that in the upcoming years. If the person still has the Money in the Bank briefcase, I don't think that would be a bad idea. Honestly, good concept for a ladder match. Before we go, my final question for the year, I might stump you, so that would be a win for me. What former WCW wrestler is also known as Cannonball Grizzly? What former WCW wrestler is also known as Cannonball Grizzly? He would come out and he's a really big guy, and he would come in the early 90s and rap. Had a feud with Steve Austin for a second. Pretty interesting. That was probably the highest point of his career, feuding with Steve Austin, because his character was just not that good in hindsight. So I want to thank everyone so much for really supporting Pancakes and Power Slams. It's just been such a amazing ascension in the radio world since Pancakes and Power Slams inception in April. We've grown to four figures number of listeners. Very, very humbled because of that and just the support. Let's just continue to gained more and more listeners, heading to 40 episodes. Getting prepared in a few months for episode 50. Got some good surprises and some good things planned for episode 50. Until then, just continue to support Paul New. Great job. It seems like Paul New is the correct answer, but it's surprising that someone would know that his real name. But what was his gimmick name in WCW? Great job, though. Great job with that. So much. Thank you so much. I am very humbled that you have spread the word. Everybody who's listening, spread the word about. I'm humbled that you spread the word about Crave Wrestling and Pancakes and Power Slams. And like I said before, I'm also humbled to land a position. PN News, great job. Great job. Great job for the chat room. The final question of the year, PN News. Great job. Landed a job at WrestlingInc.com. Please be sure to check out that site. That is the number one site in the world. Actually, it's there's a source that based on statistics, it is the number one independently owned wrestling site in the nation, and I am humbled to write for them. WrestlingInc.com, www.WrestlingInc.com, WrestlingINC.com. And of course, there's other good websites. I'm definitely not coming against any other website. Great websites out there to keep you in the loop. And you can also check out my Facebook page, Crave Wrestling, www.facebook.com/CraveWrestling. Some good news, good articles written from the Bleacher Report of myself, and also great trivia. Like I said, right now I'm posting masked wrestlers on the Facebook site, and I'll post a wrestler out up there, and you'll name the wrestler. So, like I said, check me out on Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone. I'm a feature columnist on Bleacher Report. So, as you can see, news reporting, writing, article, feature columnist for Bleacher Report. I love wrestling, and I'm humbled that people see and realize that I love wrestling. And thanks so much to the Crave Wrestling staff. It's been great. Thank you so much. And I will say this: I will give you a pitch here. Because of financial situations, this economy going up and down, I want to continue to have Pancakes and Power Slams thrive. So I'm asking you, no matter what, if you're listening, please, whatever you can give, go to PayPal and give to Crave Wrestling. The email address is cravewrestling@gmail.com. Give generously, give whatever you can. Just thank you so much for your support. But, it's the first time I've ever done this in almost 40 episodes, but we really, really need your financial support to keep it going and keep it going to your liking. So, got some special names, special guest names coming up down the pipe, and we'll continue to please the fans. Thank you so much. Once again, cravewrestling@gmail.com, PayPal, or if you have any general inquiries, or if you want to just have the flavor of the week, wrestlinginc.com, your number one source for wrestling news. Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, feature columnist there. They also have great articles by other contributors and feature columnists alike. And then, of course, follow @Crave Wrestling on Twitter, like Crave Wrestling on Facebook, spread the word about pancakes and power slams. Derek is the man, great Raw correspondent. Very honored to have him on the staff. And thank you so much for you, the listeners, you, the fans of Pancakes and Power Slams. You are the people to thank. So thank you so much. We will see you on New Year's Day, next Tuesday, regular time, regular, regular day, New Year's Day. Be here to celebrate the new year with the first episode of the year of Pancakes and Power Slams, Stump the Host edition. Thank you so much for supporting Pancakes and Power Slams. I'm so honored and very humbled and grateful that you all listen every week and spread the word. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen to the archived episodes and just, support Crave Wrestling in that sense. Got a final quote from the chat room. Can't wait until next episode. Stump the Host. So we'll see if that happens. Until then, be safe. Please be safe. New Year's, be safe. Enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless.